My name is Tiffany, and I am a believer in Jesus Christ who currently struggles with fear and pride. Hello. Let me start off by praying. Father God, open the hearts of everybody here listening tonight, and may you be glorified through my words. Amen. So, teaching on step 11 tonight, and I want to start by letting y'all know just about kind of my past 6 or 7 years. So these past 6 or 7 years, I've miscarried 4 times, had my husband confess past infidelity, adopted 2 beautiful older children, adapted to the first child, then to the second, lost 3 grandparents that I was close to, and recently my mom was diagnosed with cancer. There have been moments in these years where my plan for my life was clearly not matching up with God's plan for my life. Yet these have been the years where I have really grown to know the Lord for who he is. I've often wondered how I could go from moments of pain, hurt, disappointment, and then joy and contentment and still completely depend on God. Through these years, he has revealed some things to me, and tonight I'm going to share them with you. In doing so, I'm going to talk to you about step 11. As many of y'all know, the curriculum is being revised. So tonight, I'm going to talk to you about the revised step 11. Previously, the wording was this. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry it out. I think that you'll see that the heart behind the new wording is the same, but this is what it sounds like now. We pursued God daily to know him and relied on his power to do his will. In summary, this step is telling us that we need to draw near to God, which we do by abiding. Then we can know him more and have the desire and the strength to rely on him above ourselves in order to do his will. The scripture that goes with this step is a new one as well. It's so good. And it better reflects the wording change in the step. It's from John 17, verses 3 through 4. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Okay, so this verse reminds us that Jesus was on earth to accomplish his Father's will. He also says that accomplishing the purposes that God had for him glorified God the Father. This can be true for us as well. Sometimes it's a hard concept to grasp, especially when our circumstances are not what we'd like them to be. I'll give you some examples in a few minutes of times when accomplishing the purpose that God had for me was extremely difficult. But in truth, it's the abiding that helps us glorify God in the midst of any circumstance, just as it helped Jesus when he was on earth. Now, abide is to remain or to continue or to stay. My favorite scripture on this topic is from John 15, verses 4 and 5, where Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing." We learn from this verse that we are not able to do his will if we're not connected to him. As we have discussed in previous steps, our relationship with God is an ongoing relationship. And like any relationship, it takes time and nurturing. I'll discuss how to abide or how to remain in a few minutes. But first, let's think about what happens when we abide. There are quite a few things that happen, and they are all very encouraging. For some people, it's easier to abide when they are having a personal crisis. Dependence becomes a necessity to them. But whereas for others of us, at times, maybe seasons of contentment can make us thankful, and then we choose to abide out of just gratitude. However, Scripture tells us that any time we draw near to God, we can know him more and have an eternal perspective that helps us persevere in believing and have the desire to obey him. We either learn or are reminded of who God is. I love these thinking about these things about God. He's holy. He's altogether different from us. We cannot put him in a box or even begin to fathom his greatness. He's more majestic, more perfect, more awesome than anything our finite minds can even begin to imagine. He's good in every possible way. So every single thing he does is good. He is sovereign. And I love this explanation of sovereignty. He's in control of everything all the time, which should move us to trust him. He's all-knowing and all-powerful, which helps us realize that nothing is too hard for him. There's nothing he doesn't know, and there's nothing he doesn't understand about the past, the present, or the future. He is so much more than we will ever completely know or understand. And as we come to know him more, seeing him for who he is, our automatic response is praise, gratitude, humility, and a desire to serve him. When we view the world in perspective of the big picture that we find in God's word, instead of through our desires and what we want out of life, we can learn to see him and his character in our circumstances. Learning to see God for who he is and looking for him in my circumstances has changed me in many ways. Before understanding the character of God, I operated on the lies that the world has to offer. At the core was, if my circumstances are not what I consider good, then God must not be trustworthy or good. For example, if God wasn't answering my specific prayers the way I wanted them answered about situations, relationships, and wants rather than needs, then either he must not be listening or he must not care. Sure, I knew Romans 8:28 that God tells us that all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, but I didn't really believe it. I didn't really know God very well, and not that I have any supreme knowledge of him now. In fact, the more I come to know him, the more I realize how far I am from even beginning to understand his greatness. But all this summed up, I totally ran on feelings instead of on God's truth. Now, I'm not saying that feelings are bad. They are what they are. But they're not truth. They're feelings. They come and go, changing quicker than the weather, at least for me. So I lived my life experiencing one internal crisis after another. An internal crisis could consist of disappointing someone, stress from poor boundary setting, or something turning out different than what I expected, whether it be a job situation or really anything. It was a roller coaster. It didn't matter how big or small the problem was. When I was using feelings as a grid, every difficulty was a complete crisis. One example of what this looked like for me in the past was my struggle with food. If I had a stressful day at work, I might come home and binge and purge, instead of simply turning to the Lord or a Christian friend about what went on in my day. At other times, I would control my food intake, counting every single calorie, in a vain attempt to try and control something. I was a believer at this time, but I didn't know how to abide. As I began drawing near to the Lord, I began to understand God and his character more. It made me more able to trust him. So do I do this perfectly now? Not even close. But I will say that my level of trust seems to be directly correlated to how much I am abiding in him. Now, it's true that his grace is sufficient and his spirit is in us, but I don't even have the desire to yield to the spirit when I'm not abiding. I tend to try and control things more, which I really can't do, so generally it leads me to anxiety and depression. When we're abiding, his purposes will be accomplished in us and through us, and we in turn are able to glorify him. Another thing that happens when we abide is that we are able to accomplish his will. So you may ask, what is his will for us here on earth? And this is going to be just a summary. It's not hitting every point about his will, but just a few things. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the ground.'" So here we see that God's made us to rule over the earth. God has also made us to live in relationship with him. One of the places we see this, I love this verse, is Exodus 25:8. "Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them." And now we know that the Holy Spirit indwells those of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we're the temple now. He has also purposed for us to be conformed into the image of Christ. To be Christ-like is to exhibit his qualities or to bear fruit. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And something that I just realized within the past couple of years is that these things, they belong to Christ alone. They're only his to give. They can't be conjured up just by pulling up your bootstraps or trying really hard. They're things that really just come from Christ. And they happen for us as we're shaped into his image. So Paul tells us in Romans 8:29, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son." And then the last one, it's another one of my favorites. Ephesians 2:10. We see that doing good works is part of God's plan for us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. But in order for these things that I just went over to be accomplished in our lives, we have to draw near to him. We have to seek him. And so one other thing that abiding accomplishes, this is awesome too. I'm really passionate about this topic, y'all. It allows us to access the spiritual blessings that he has already given us. Ephesians 1, go read Ephesians 1 tonight if y'all haven't read it in a while. It's so amazing. It tells us what God has done for us, that he's chosen us, he's adopted us, he's redeemed us, he's forgiven us. He gave us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our eternal future in heaven with him, and he gave us the very same power that he used to raise Christ from the dead. Verses 18:21 in Ephesians 1 says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards those of us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. I'm going to come back to the heavenly places. Far above rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So when it talks about heavenly places, it's talking about the spiritual realm. And so the spiritual realm is really available to us when we're operating in the spirit, but not when we're operating in the flesh necessarily. So we operate in the spirit also by abiding. So exactly how do we abide? And when do we practice abiding? Well, James tells us in chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So how do we draw near? Well, one of the ways we do this is by reading and studying God's word. His word is the primary way that we learn about his character. Another way to draw near is in prayer. We saw Jesus doing this during his life on earth, which is portrayed in the Gospels. Luke 5:16 says, Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. In the book of Colossians, Paul reminds us to devote ourselves to prayer. And in 1 Thessalonians, he tells us to pray without ceasing. So then the third one is biblical community. That's another way that we're able to draw near to God. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So in biblical community, we point one another back to the Lord's truth about him, about ourselves, about others, and about our life circumstances. So on a perfect day, I would start and finish my day in God's word, reading and praying. I'd also try to talk with a friend about what's going on in my heart, praising God and confessing my sin. But having all those components in place and working them out in the right way takes a lot of discipline and a lot of prayer. And I still fall short. I have to ask God to help me to have the desire to spend time in his word and in prayer and ask for the discipline to do it when I don't feel like it. History has shown me that when these components are working together, I can have the peace and the joy that Christ provides in difficult circumstances. So as I mentioned earlier, when I got started, the last 6 or 7 years have been a roller coaster of circumstances. And I have to say that they've probably been the best 6 or 7 years of my life. In the midst of it all, I've tried to do my part to abide, not perfectly, but consistently asking the Lord for the desire when it's not present. I remember my life quite well before I knew the Lord, when I was his enemy, and even my life after knowing him, but before knowing him as well. And as I mentioned earlier, it was always based on circumstances and always focused on self. It was no wonder I had so many things to work through and regen in such a long inventory. Hours and hours. And I still struggle to abide. It's a daily choice that I make, but I do see a direct correlation when I'm trapped in fear, trying to control my surroundings, to the time I'm spending with the Lord. So I'm reminded that apart from him, I can do nothing. We can do nothing. So tonight, let's thank God for his mercy and grace that he has lavished upon us, that he has lavished upon us so that we can turn to him, depend on him, and glorify him through any and every circumstance. Thanks for letting me share.